Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hi there, this is Sean Eastridge of Missing Frames. You might have noticed that the audio quality of this recording is not great. It's because I'm recording this in a hotel room. We are on the road, Sarah and I, and we're in Nashville. We've been hanging out, seeing the sights, making new friends, and just having a grand old time. But we didn't want to miss another Missing Frames. And what we wanted to do was a between takes episode. Basically, this is where we just talk about anything, and it's an excuse to be lazy and not have to set up all the microphones and all that crazy stuff. But we wanted to get an episode to you to make sure that you are not without Missing Frames, because what would you do? We don't want to reduce you to tears and suffering and depression. So we're here for you. We want to continue to be here for you. We hope that you enjoyed the episode. So just a heads up, it's the audio quality. We recorded it while we were driving to Nashville. So you're going to hear a lot of craziness, like some road rage, some insanity, some Mad Max style stuff. So just prepare yourself. But it's all going to be worth it in the end. But before we get into the episode, I just wanted to take a moment to talk a little bit about something going on with the Nerd Party. Now, you may have seen some links to GoFundMe. You might be like, what? Why are these guys asking for money? Don't I give them enough with the listens and the support? And that's true. We love all of you, but we wanted to talk a little bit about this thing going on. So just to let you know what's happening with the Nerd Party, we've been hit by a legal claim. We can't go into the specifics of it for legal reasons. And what they're asking for money-wise is less than it would be to go to court. Yeah, it's a little bit like that. And that's the problem of it. Nerd Party doesn't have business insurance because we're just a bunch of nerdy guys talking about stuff. We don't get paid for this. I know it sounds like, oh my God, how do they not get paid? They're so amazing. And I thank you for that because it's true. But the reality is we don't. And we don't have business insurance to cover these kinds of hits. Now, every cent of this that's submitted to our GoFundMe, it's going to go to our legal defense fund. If you have a podcast or a blog or like a website with patrons, this is the kind of thing that could happen to any of us. It's not something that is so random or ridiculous that it couldn't. So we should really rally together and help each other out. If you want to, any amount can help. And we really appreciate it. And you guys have been awesome. So this is not something we're doing regularly. You're going to hear us talk about it a little bit across all the shows on the Nerd Party Network. There's tons of great stuff going on. But we really appreciate your support. And the link is GoFundMe.com/TheNerdParty. And again, that's GoFundMe.com/TheNerdParty. And again, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for just all the support you've given us. And you guys are awesome. And if you want, I mean, help us spread the word. Like we said, if you have a podcast, talk about this. If you are in a Facebook group or anything, like, you know, share this with your friends. We're using a hashtag TNPFight. And if you want to use that, that sounds awesome. So, you know, thank you so much. Again, we love you. And let's get on with the show.
Now available to own on video cassette.
Hi everyone, welcome to a special episode of Missing Frames Between Takes. That's the sound of the road you're hearing behind us. We are on the road to Nashville. It's me and Sarah in the car.
Hey.
Hey, so we're thinking we might have to miss Missing Frames this week because we're going to Nashville. And instead of just being lazy and not recording anything, we wanted to throw together a Between Takes episode. So Between Takes, if you haven't listened to the others, like I said, it's kind of like a side story type deal. I don't know. Am I describing this correctly?
Yeah.
I feel like being on the
road. I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah,
Between Takes.
yeah, that's right. So yeah. I don't even have to explain it. So what I'm doing is wasting your time right now.
But you are welcome.
Yeah, this is, which could just be the way you think of every Missing Frames episode, which is totally fine. In which case, this is totally in line with the rest of our series. But we are actually driving right now. I'm driving a car, and we're recording this on a phone, so the audio quality is not great, and you're gonna have to deal with it. If you're dedicated to us, as dedicated to us as we are to you, whoever you might be. We are hoping that you'll just roll with the punches on this one and we'll make it work. So, Sarah, how are you today?
I'm great.
We are not going to be talking about a movie. like we normally do. We'll be talking about movies
in general.
But, you know, Missing Frames, kind of our normal routine is we watch movies that one or more of the hosts has never seen before. And it's usually movies that we probably should have seen by this point. Like, you can go back to our library if you haven't checked us out before. We've done stuff like The Godfather, The Princess Bride, Blues Brothers, like all these movies that people should have watched by this point in our lives. We've even gotten a little bit of TV in there with Twin Peaks, which I had never seen before.
Which is technically just a very long movie.
Yes, Twin Peaks, the TV series, the original was probably normal TV, but I know David Lynch was saying that the new season was essentially an 18-hour movie.
No big deal.
No biggie. Yeah, everyone is making those in their sleep, so no big deal there. But that's our normal routine. For between takes, we kind of give ourselves an excuse to kind of go off script a little bit, off book, and talk about anything. It's a way for us to be lazy if we don't have the time to record an official episode with microphones and all the sound equipment. It's kind of a way we can just keep up and do whatever. And it's going to be just as slapdash as it already is currently. Which is partially because I'm driving and I'm a little distracted, but also because who knows? Who knows where this episode's going to go? But I'm excited.
I'm ready.
Sarah's ready.
Take it away.
So we'll do that. So first, I mean, like, I think we're going to talk about road movies, our favorite road movies, since we're on the road. But there's been a lot of good stuff coming out lately.
Yeah.
We've missed Isle of Dogs.
I know. We've missed a couple good films. We definitely need to do some catching up, but we did see a couple good ones in theaters recently.
Yeah, Isle of Dogs is the one I really want to see, but we did see A Quiet Place last week, which is like the one everyone is talking about.
And for good reason.
For good reason. Yeah. It's John Krasinski's debut feature. It's a horror movie, which is like, it feels like every year for maybe a decade or so.
There's like a great horror film that comes out of nowhere.
Not just a great horror movie, but like a masterpiece of a film. Like, Let the Right One In 2008, Get Out last year, The Witch, It Follows, The Babadook.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on and on, but there's been so many great horror movies, and I feel like A Quiet Place is this year's like masterpiece horror movie.
It was just so much fun.
Yeah,
it was funny. And it had so much, like, it had a lot of heart to it, which I wasn't expecting. And I love a good, like, scary movie that has heart and has good backstory, and you like the characters. And just seeing John Krasinski work with his wife was super cool. And, you know,
it was pretty awesome. And I don't know the full details. I think it was, like, someone had given the script to Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
And she had given it to her husband, John Krasinski, and it was kind of like, you know, maybe this is something he could direct. And this is insane. It's his feature debut, and it's so confident and assured. It reminds me a lot of Jordan Peele's Get Out, just how, like, masterful that was, and it's even more amazing when you're like, oh my gosh, this is his first thing.
Yeah, and when someone is actually a main character in a film and directing, and they pull both off so exquisitely, I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work on a movie. Like, you're a main character. He's in the whole movie, and he directs it. Like, that's very impressive.
It's just John Krasinski is a beautiful man.
My beautiful Jim.
He's been my beautiful Jim. Yes, he is a man, multi-talented. He's sexy.
That's true.
I have, you know, fantasies of him.
He, like, recently got a lot of abs, too.
A lot of abs.
A lot of them.
A lot.
Like,
abs. No, not just, like, the standard six. He got a lot of abs.
Many, many abs.
And, kudos to him for that.
That was really fun.
Yeah. Quiet Place. Intense. It was terrifying, but it was so, just the sense of, and the fact that a lot of it deals with, these are, the monsters are attracted to sound. So everyone has to be very quiet. The family that's at the center of the film, they communicate with sign language. So a lot of the film is very quiet, and you can feel the audience. It's almost like
tension.
Audience participation in a way, though. The audience is very quiet. It's respectful, but it's also like you feel like you're a part of that experience. So it makes you feel like a part of the family, which makes it that much more endearing as far as like feeling attached to the characters. But it just makes it that much more fun, because whenever something horrifying is about to happen, the audience is very audible. And you can hear everybody because there's not a lot of sound to distract. The movie's not very loud except for the scares. So it felt like a, like more than just like a great movie. It felt like going to an amusement ride where it's like the audience participation is key to the enjoyment of it. The only thing I would knock A Quiet Place for is I found it relied a little too strongly on jump scare moments, like goofy ones.
It might have, but I mean, they got me each time, so.
Yeah. I have like, you know, I don't mind jump scares. I'm not a huge fan of them, but like, sometimes when it's something where it's like, oh, gotcha, it was just a person walking across the screen, I hate when they do that. So there are a couple moments where I was like, oh, you could do better than that. But overall, the movie doesn't
I'm willing like to that. Forgive that yes. completely just for everything else it accomplishes.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what else he does. I thought it was fantastic.
They just said he's doing some movie about Mars.
We cool. don't have I'm on board.
Movie, we don't have enough movies
Send
about
them all
Mars.
To Mars.
If there's one planet we need more movies about, it's Mars.
It is great how much money it's making, too.
It is.
That always makes me happy.
That's the thing with horror movies.
You don't need a big budget.
Yeah, they're cheap. You're guaranteed to make your money back.
Yeah.
That's why it's a good way to break into the industry. A lot of great filmmakers have done that. But moving on to other movies we've seen that aren't quite as successful as A Quiet Place.
Yeah, so the weekend before, I believe, we saw
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
And I wrote a review for this. You may have seen it on the Nerd Party's Facebook page. I posted a link on Twitter as well, and a link to my own blog on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page. Ready Player One, I liked.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I went into it thinking, oh, I bet this movie will be pretty. And I left the movie thinking, oh, that was a pretty movie.
Yeah, it was
like,
fun.
It looked great. It was a bit of a throwaway for me.
You know, I read the book, and the book was, I really enjoyed it as I was reading it. And at the end of it, I felt a couple things. I felt, one, the main character was way too good at everything. Like, it was very, like, the main character is like, oh, how am I going to solve this problem? Oh, that's right, I'm a genius, and all I have to do is this. And it was like, oh, well, this is exciting.
Takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, there's no suspense. But then also, it occurred to me, I was like, you know, if you took all the references and the 80s pop culture stuff out of this and the nostalgia factor, this is like a mediocre book.
Well, and I think that translated, because I think the best parts were the pop culture, because that's what you get excited about, especially seeing those things visually. But as far as, like, a strong plot, it's fine.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was...
Not my favorite Spielberg movie.
I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did, because the book kind of annoyed me, and the more I thought about it through the years, the more it annoyed
me.
Right,
and I have not read the book, so we kind of went into it with a little bit of different expectation.
Exactly. So I kind of appreciated that, one, the main character, Wade, was more followable. He wasn't as, like, much of a genius.
Yeah.
And he was more endearing. In the book, he comes across as kind of like I'm awesome and I know everything. And in the movie, he was a little bit more like, oh, it feels more like it comes from a genuine passion of his, like the nerdiness. And also, I just like Ty Sheridan a lot.
Well,
I really love him.
And I was going to say, he was great. And I liked, oh gosh, I'm forgetting her name, but the girl.
I can't remember.
She
the
main
was in,
girl.
Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Yeah. Olivia
plays,
something. I think it's Olivia something.
Artemis? Her
yes.
name in the movie?
Yeah. So she was great.
I want to say Evan Rachel Wood. I know that's not her name, but I just want to say that just because. So whoever you are, we love you.
You were great.
You're great. Apparently we don't love you enough to remember your name, but you know what?
Our bad.
These are all surface details. The love comes from inside.
No, but it was fun.
It was.
It was kind of a movie that, like, will I watch it again and buy it? I honestly don't know. I might buy it just because we own all the Spielberg movies, right?
Yeah. Well, that's
but
the thing.
I'm like, oh,
like
it did not feel like a Spielberg movie.
Felt like it could have been directed by anyone.
No, but again, I did not see the BFG, which was, you know, so I don't know if, I don't know. It did not feel like a Spielberg movie.
No, it wasn't like, that's not a knock against Spielberg as much as it is a knock against just the material itself. It's a very CG-driven movie. And the CG didn't bother me as much as I thought it would, because it felt fitting for the video game world. Like,
I thought
it
looked pretty
good. It looked good.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was fun. And there is a sense of, like, there is a director behind the camera who knows how to craft fun, engaging action. So from that sense, I got the feel of like, oh yeah, Spielberg, I do see his kind of magic there. But overall, it felt like anyone could have directed it, and it would have had the same exact result of like, this was fun, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
But, and then in other news, outside of the movie world, we've been watching Legion on FX, which
so good.
Is like, I'm not even kidding, It's
one big old acid trip.
It's one of the best television shows I've ever seen. It's my personal favorite show. I don't watch a lot of TV, so I guess that's not saying a lot. I don't have a lot to base that off of. But knowing, if you know me and you know how little I am into television, that if I can devote myself to a series, it's usually like a very good series.
And I'm the opposite. I watch a lot of television. Yes. You're more movies, I'm more TV. Right, so we round TV, each other out a bit.
The way I feel about TV is at a certain point, like, TV runs its course for me. And I'm a fan of, like, oh, a single story, an hour and a half, I'm good.
I just need more character arc.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, it's hard for me to, when I see a movie, and I love movies, but just the amount of time you can spend with a character over a couple years and really see them change, I'm into that.
Yeah.
I like seeing a full evolution.
There have been great television, like Breaking Bad, I adored. Friday Night Lights, you introduced me to, and I adore that. We've been watching Roseanne, which
is such a surprise, amazing
that's
thing.
That's like, sometimes we go into sitcom land and we like to have a 30-minute sitcom we can just sit down and watch. And Roseanne has been that recently, which is shocking because I was not going to watch Roseanne with you.
I was starting it and I was like, hey, Sean, watch this with me. I saw some episodes when I was young. The revival is happening. Like, yeah. I want to catch up. And you were just not really, you're like, eh, no. And then you started watching Roseanne, as I watched it, and I looped you in.
I think Roseanne just annoyed me. She annoyed me. And as a kid, my parents never let me watch the show, and for good reason. Like, the amount of stuff they're able to talk about on a network sitcom is insane. Like, what they got away with is absolutely insane. They talk about abortion, birth control, all, like, you know, teenage sex, like, drugs. It's insane the amount of stuff they got away with on, I think it's on ABC. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I love John Goodman.
For that time period. That's pretty pushing the envelope.
Yeah, it was late 80s, early 90s. I love John Goodman, so I think that was kind of my gateway into the show. And then once I got into it, I was
like,
he
was your gateway drug?
He's my gateway drug. John Goodman is my gateway drug to a lot of things. But once I started watching it, it was like, oh my God, I adore
it. It's brilliant. It's just so good.
But anyway, back to Legion. Legion is basically, if you got David Lynch, Wes Anderson, and Stanley Kubrick together, and you said, let me tell you about X-Men and this one character, Legion, and they didn't read any comics. They just said, okay, based on what you told us, we're going to collaborate and make a television show. That is Legion. I can't stress this enough. I know a lot of people have been like, Legion, really? It's like an X-Men thing? Which was my initial reaction before I saw the pilot. Within 10 minutes of the pilot, I was like, this is the best. I was texting everybody, like, this is one of the best things I've ever
seen. And again, how did you watch the show? Was it because your wife was going
to
watch it?
Yeah. Because she watches everything, she's like, I'm going to watch Legion. So yeah. But I can't stress this enough. It's, I love X-Men. I love the universe. This doesn't feel like X-Men at all.
It's a total treat.
If that's why you've been like, oh, I don't really want to watch another superhero thing, if that's why you've been ignoring it, please just do yourself a favor. The whole show is on Hulu. The first season is on Hulu. If you have Hulu, if you want to just sign up for a 14-day subscription to Hulu and just watch the pilot, I guarantee you, if you're a fan of any of the filmmakers I mentioned, Anderson, Kubrick, Lynch, you will adore this show. This is one of the best things on television. And so far, season two has been great. It's been...
There's been two episodes out,
yeah.
I believe, and they've both been completely amazing.
Yeah, it's been kind of slow build, but it's still...
It's hard not to gush. Sometimes I hate gushing, but it's like, it's a very gush-worthy
experience. And I want this show to keep going.
Me too.
Noah Hawley, who did Fargo, if you were into the TV show Fargo.
Which I think everyone loved.
Everyone apparently loved it. We watched some of it and really loved it and then stopped watching for some reason.
Yeah, we gotta get back on that.
Yeah, so anyway, that's all we've been doing. How long have you been? This is 20 minutes? Good God. We've been talking about stuff for 20 minutes. So the whole point we wanted to get to is we're on the road. We wanted to talk a little bit about road trip movies. Movies we have seen, movies we haven't seen, movies we want to watch again. That's a little Missing Framesy. I feel like we can talk. That's kind of a good conversation. So,
it is if we say it is.
So some of our favorite road trip movies. There are classics like Easy Rider. Have you seen Easy Rider?
I have not seen Easy Rider.
I've seen Easy Rider.
How old of a movie is that?
I saw it once. It was like 70s,
okay.
I think. Early 70s or late 60s.
Is it about motorcycles?
Yeah, they ride motorcycles. It's very, There's no plot. It was very non-conventional.
Oh, I love movies with no plot.
Yes. It's very non-conventional.
No plot and motorcycles.
And you're going to have to bear with us in this episode. We're not, we don't have any articles pulled up, so I'm literally just pulling stuff out of my ass.
It's very stream of consciousness.
Yeah, you're going to have to bear with me. I'm not going to be able to name directors for some of these, but Easy Rider, I think, was directed by its star, Fonda.
Okay.
Is that right? Henry Fonda?
Henry Fonda?
Is Henry Fonda the right guy?
Henry Fonda is a guy.
He is a guy. I'm pretty sure it was a Fonda.
Anywho.
Easy Rider I saw in college, and I hated that movie.
Okay.
So I need to see it again. But it's very, a quintessential road movie. It kicked off a whole, era of filmmaking where it's like, oh, you can make a plotless movie that is, popular, that people will go see. Because I think a lot of people were like, oh, it's not going to make any money, it's going to suck, and everyone's going to hate it. And it just was a huge phenomenon.
Yeah.
So, kick things off with Easy Rider, a quintessential road movie that I hate, and that you've never seen. So, perfect. everyone hates us already.
And it will not be a Missing Frames episode.
It will not be
a with that glowing review, yeah. I don't think I want
I'd
to watch
like
it.
I'd like to watch it again at some point.
Oh, don't make me.
I would be interesting to see how I feel about it now, but I just remember thinking it was boring. It was meandering, boring. There was a lot of really obvious, fancy schmancy edits and camera moves to show off, I guess.
Is there Evil Knievel stuff, motorcycle tricks, or is it a straight up?
No, I think it's just them riding around America and talking to people. Something you think I would like. Yeah, as a
so
fan
the
of
Motorcycle
Linklater.
Diaries.
Yeah, or Motorcycle Diaries is a way better movie. I don't remember the filmmaker, but it stars what's his name, Gael García.
Yeah.
This is the guy who was in The Science of Sleep. He was in E2 Mama Tambien. He was in, was a voice in Coco recently.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's one of my favorite people. He's besties with
beautiful singing voice, too.
He is, and a beautiful, beautiful man. He was buddies with Diego Luna. He is buddies with Diego Luna. They're in E2 Mama Tambien together. But he was a star of Motorcycle Diaries, which I think was about Che.
Yes.
The guy Che, before he was Che. Kind of some substantial road trips he went on as a kid. Not a kid, he was an adult.
I remember really wanting to see this movie, and then I missed it in theaters, and that I just never saw it.
Well, I watched it because I knew the director was going to be making the On the Road adaptation. And On the Road is one of my favorite books. It's Jack Kerouac. And I remember wanting to watch Motorcycle Diaries as a way of prepping myself. Which is a very similar, it's about a couple guys on the road, their experiences and living their lives. And I remember being so disappointed that On the Road was not good. But Motorcycle Diaries was great. It was really amazing and another one of my favorite road movies. But more importantly, E2 Mama Tambien, which stars the same actor. I absolutely adore E2 Mama Tambien. I think I'm going to hold back on my gushing. It's Alfonso Cuarón, one of his first movies. He'd done A Little Princess. And then he went and did Great Expectations, which people didn't like. And E2 Mama Tambien was kind of his retreat back into, his personal expressions.
Right.
And you have never seen it.
No, and I know you really want me to watch this movie.
I would love you to see
it. I'm excited to see it.
So we should watch that for Missing Frames.
It's been, 5 years of you being hey, are we going to watch this?
Right. That's
so we're due.
Beautiful movie, and it does this amazing thing where it's basically kind of a sex dramedy. So there's a lot of very explicit sex. It's two horny teenage guys, young guys who are just trying to get laid all the time. And they go on a road trip with this beautiful woman who's in a kind of a bad marriage. Her husband has just cheated on her, so she's fine, I'll hang out with these two guys. We'll go on a road trip together. And kind of a coming of age vibe to it. There's a road trip angle to it. There's a lot of really cool stuff without going too in depth. There's a narrator who will, as they're passing through certain cities, will describe the history of the city and all the things that have been going on there. And it adds this very profound subtext to it that just is everything is passing and these places will exist long after we're all gone and they'll have all this history to them. So it's a beautiful film. We've got to watch it. Another one that you just saw was Borat.
Oh my gosh.
So tell me a little bit about your experience with Borat.
I love Borat.
So what did you know about Borat before?
So nothing. I had seen Bruno in theaters, and I had seen the Ali G show back in the day.
Right.
So that was my only real experience with, oh my gosh, what's his name?
with Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen. So I did not know, and I think 30 minutes into the movie, I still was not sure until you clarified, but I didn't know it was like, I thought it was all staged.
Right.
I did not know that he was going, oh my God.
Some of it is staged.
Yes, but I mean, these people's reactions, I thought everything was scripted.
Right.
And knowing that it's not made it unbelievably amazing and cringeworthy and funny, and like honestly I thought I would think the movie was stupid, and I now am like, this is a brilliant piece of cinema.
Right. And Borat, the whole movie is him traveling around.
He's traveling around in like a creepy kidnapping van, you know.
An ice cream truck. They get an ice cream
truck. Yeah, that's right. And it's super creepy and hilarious. Yeah. And just they stop and wreak havoc everywhere.
I've got to say the humor in it, because it's so offensive in the best
possible way.
But it was almost refreshing watching it in this day and age where everyone gets offended by everything.
Yeah, you know how like comedians are scared to talk about certain things?
Right.
Not all of them, but like now we're in a very like sensitive time and there's so many subjects that are too controversial or whatever, whereas comedy used to be able to touch all the subjects because it's comedy. That's the beauty of it. And we're losing that a lot, so I really admire comedians that still go for it, and this was one of them.
Yeah, I don't think you could release Borat today.
No, I think too many people would be really upset, but, and it just wouldn't make the money it made.
Out at just the right time, kind of a few years after 9/11, where that was still like terrorism was still something, you know, Americans were very like, everyone's a terrorist who, you know, isn't white. So the fact that he kind of comes in and subverts a lot of like, he goes to, I can't remember what, he goes to like some Bible Belt state,
yeah,
and sings his Kazakhstan's national anthem,
yes,
and to the tune of America's national anthem. And
it's, was that the rodeo?
Yeah.
And they were like freaking out.
He was having conversations with a bunch of guys who were like, yeah, we need to hang all the terrorists and da da da. But it's just so funny and such an interesting commentary about America in general. But that was wonderful. Watching that with you was a great experience.
Yeah, I don't know how I let so many years go by. And it was kind of a shame because I had only seen Bruno and I was not a huge fan.
Yeah, none of his other stuff was as... It just never... He did Bruno, he did The Dictator.
And I didn't see The Dictator. But I just was like, oh, he's funny. That's pretty good. But I mean, I always love the Ali G show. I still think it's hilarious. I think we talked about like rewatching it because it's been so many years.
And he's great in like just random... like. You know, he was in Les Mis, which I didn't like, but he was great. And then he was in Hugo.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite parts
really
of Hugo.
Good in Hugo.
Oh, there's some motorcycles, if you can hear those.
Yeah, road trip.
Yeah, easy rider. but Sacha Baron Cohen, I feel like he's kind of disappeared in recent years.
He's a dad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fam.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird.
Bam,
you know, what, who? Isla Fisher, is that her name?
Isla
Fisher. It's got to be weird. I feel like it would be weird being married to that guy where it's like he has made a living off of basically adopting personas and committing to the joke beyond anything. I feel like there's a part of me that
maybe,
would be a little terrified.
Maybe, but he was who he was when she met him, I will say. So it's like, she's got to like it.
Yeah.
I mean,
true.
You don't marry it if you don't like it, okay?
That's very true.
And she's like a super babe.
She is.
Like, them together, I'm like, oh, interesting.
It's very adorable.
Yeah.
So other great road movies. I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yep.
Which, when was the last time you saw that?
I was a child.
I feel like it's on every year.
I was probably young enough that I shouldn't have been watching it. Maybe 10 or something. It's been a long time.
They usually show Christmas Vacation every Christmas.
Well, so I've seen Christmas Vacation. Right. And didn't you do a Missing Frames for that?
Yeah, there was a Missing Frames for that with Lindsay and Brandon, who I miss so much. They showed me that movie. And I actually really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting to like it, but I did. But National Lampoon's Vacation is my favorite.
So is that the first one?
That's the first one they did.
Okay.
And it was basically they're traveling across the country to get to Wally World, this big theme park.
We're not talking about the remake then.
No. I've not seen that. I don't have much desire to see it. I've heard it's actually not as bad as people made it out to be.
I watched about 30 minutes on HBO and I turned it off, if that gives you an idea of the quality.
Yeah, and I know John Daly directed it with I don't remember the other guy's name. I only know John Daly because I love Freaks and Geeks, and I love Game Night. I think it's Goldstein. is the guy's name?
Is that like his regular partner?
Yeah, they've been working. They write and direct together. They did Game Night together, which is amazing.
Did they do Spider-Man?
They co-wrote Spider-Man. Okay. They were two of the writers on Spider-Man. And Spider-Man Homecoming, to be specific.
So, like, one flop out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, and the Game Night was so great.
Oh, yeah.
That I feel like that redeemed them. And they're doing The Flash. Like, they're going to be doing The Flash. So, DC needs as much talent as they can get right now.
Hopefully. And Ezra Miller is great. So, I think I feel good about that one. We'll see.
But
it's been a long time since I've seen it. I would like to see it again, actually.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny. Chevy Chase is I don't think he's ever been better. You got Anthony Michael Hall, little baby Anthony Michael Hall. I love it.
Love it.
And that's another one.
We got the Muppet movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which Muppet is movie one of my personal favorites.
Is one of your favorites.
Yeah.
And I showed that to you.
And what happened when you showed this movie?
I'd
never seen this movie.
You liked
all
the Muppet movie, and you really, I think you cried. But then we watched The Muppets, the Jason Segel one.
Yeah.
And you cried for maybe an hour.
I sobbed. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Something happens to me with certain movies, yeah, and certain it's like
movies,
the emotional floodgates.
Doesn't matter
open
if it's happy or sad.
No, it just like
usually you don't cry
me
during sad movies. I feel like
no,
I've never seen
it's
you cry.
It's gotta be like a touching or a really sweet moment, but if it's like really sad, I'm like, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm weird.
But the first Muppet movie,
yeah,
I think it's one of my all time favorite movies.
It was great.
It's so good. It's really good. And I never watched this new show they did. I watched, I think, one episode and thought
wait,
of it.
Wait, did it get canceled?
I think it got canceled.
Yes,
yeah.
I forgot about
it.
It
was just, like, very, like, it had this kind of, like, cynicism to it that just didn't fit the Muppets. And, like, the Muppet movie is just so heartfelt and optimistic.
Yeah.
Got lots of great cameos. But another great road trip movie that I adore.
It was fun because you got to show it to me. You showed me both of them.
Right.
But I had never seen the original Muppet movie. So
yeah,
it was kind of cool to see it as an adult. I mean, I had watched The Muppets, but I just missed the movie for some reason.
You should
find
someone who hasn't seen that. That'd
yeah,
be a good one.
It was really fun.
And then last but not least on our list is Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes.
Which that was my first introduction to Paul Dano.
Yeah.
Who doesn't talk in the movie. Well, I don't want to spoil anything. Maybe he does at some point. It's been out for how long? 12 years?
10 years, 12
years.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been a minute.
That was one of my favorite films of 2006. I think it came out in 2006.
I have not seen it since the theater.
It's been a long time. I didn't see it in theaters. I got it on DVD. And that was also my introduction to Sufjan Stevens, who's one of the greatest musical artists of all time. Do yourself a favor and check out Come On, Feel the Illinois. If you haven't listened to him, it's a masterpiece. But his song Chicago was featured in Little Miss Sunshine. I remember I wanted to listen to more of him. And then that was my introduction to Paul Dano and Sufjan Stevens, a winning combination.
Who is the little girl in that?
Abigail Breslin.
Yeah.
And she was amazing. That movie, it's one of my favorite films. All of these are favorites in some way, but, you know, Little Miss Sunshine is like, if I had to rank these, Ichimama Tambien Yen would maybe be number one, and then Little Miss Sunshine would be number two. With Easy Rider coming in dead last. Sorry, everybody. But Little Miss Sunshine is one of those, like, it could have been very cliche family sitcom-y type deal, because it's the family. Abigail Breslin is a little girl who gets into a beauty pageant, and the family has to road trip. And the family each one has their own issue. Like, it's like, and they all get discussed. Like, Steve Carell plays their uncle, who is gay and has just tried to commit suicide. The dad is trying to do this, like, pyramid scheme, like a six-step program that's not taking off. I think Bryan Cranston has a cameo in this as his boss.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sure,
I really need to rewatch
and
this
then,
film.
And then Paul Dano wants to, he's taken a vow of silence until he gets into the army. He's trying to get into the army.
Yeah.
And it's on paper, it could be very, like, saccharine and sappy, but it's so sincere. Really beautiful. There's some incredible, like, just gut-wrenching moments in this film that, like, really, really...
I remember crying at the end.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film. And it's, like, all these... It's a beautiful expression of family, the importance of family. Like, when you're at your lowest point, how family can kind of pull you back. How you all need each other at your lowest points. Like, how important family can be. And it's just, there's so much about that movie that I love. I don't want to go into details just in case people haven't seen it, but I can't recommend it enough. Michael Arndt went on to, I think, co-write Toy Story 3, which is amazing. He almost was the sole writer on The Force Awakens, but I know he just couldn't crack the code, which he has admitted himself, but he's still listed as one of the screenwriters on it, I believe, with Abrams and Kasdan. But I love Little Miss Sunshine.
It's a great one.
It's a great one. And then are there any other road movies we can think of?
Mad Max?
Mad Max! Why aren't we talking about Mad Max? Maybe the greatest road movie. I mean, it's not a road trip movie.
The Road Warrior.
But The Road Warrior. I mean, Mad Max Fury Road. Put that movie on a loop and I would sit and watch it. Like, someone would actually have to, like, say, oh, we've got to go out. Like, before I could watch that movie nonstop. That's one of the few movies that I've seen twice within a 24-hour period. I saw Batman Begins twice within 24 hours. I saw Goblet of Fire twice within 24 hours, which was not, it wasn't my idea. It was somebody was, I'd seen it at midnight, and then somebody wanted to go see it when I went to New York, and it was like, yeah, sure, let's go see it again. But Mad Max, I willingly went back in and took somebody else to see it because I was so desperate to see it again. And it's weird. I'm not a huge fan of the original movies, except for Road Warrior, I really love. But the first Mad Max is really boring.
It's boring until the last, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, there's a good chase scene at the beginning, and then the middle period of the movie is like a desolate wasteland of boredom. Road Warrior is way more energetic, way more cool and fun. And then Beyond Thunderdome was kind of like, meh. But then you get to Fury Road, and it's like what I wanted Mad Max to be from the get-go.
Yeah.
And it's like the greatest thing ever. So there's that.
It's really wonderful.
Everyone knows I love Mad Max. If you know me, you know I love it. It's a masterpiece. I adore it. And George Miller's a genius. He was freaking 70 years old when he directed that movie. He made one of the greatest action movies. He basically took people to school and was like, this is how you make an action movie. And I can't say enough good things about Mad Max. How do you feel about Mad Max?
I love it.
She loves it. And we love it, and we love you. And I think that's good. I think we've got a good, decent 40... It's almost 40 minutes now. We got this episode up. Hopefully you enjoyed it. This is a rambling, on-the-road episode between takes of Missing Frames. We'll be back maybe next week, maybe the week after, with an actual legitimate episode of Missing Frames. But we hope this has kind of held you over... It holds you over. Hopefully this is holding you over. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm ready to be in Nashville. I want to not be on the road anymore. We're good. But we're almost there. So this is good. This is a good way to pass the time, I think.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's been a good way to pass your time, audience. Again, if you like this, feel free to check out our other episodes. This is not our normal format. If you like us, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. I feel like this is such a slapdash episode. It's kind of a cop-out to say give us a 5-star rating based on this. But hopefully it's better than I think it is. And you liked it. And again, you know, make sure to follow the Nerd Party at Join Nerd Party on Twitter, the Nerd Party on Facebook. And again, you know, if you feel it in your heart to do so, go to GoFundMe.com/TheNerdParty. We could really use your help with this. Any amount is greatly appreciated, and we really, really do appreciate your support. We love you guys so much, and thank you so much for listening. I'm at @YeahSeanDoorman on Twitter if you want to follow me and chat with me about movies. I'm all up for that. And Sarah, where are you?
With Love Alone on Twitter.
You can chat with her as well about all the movies. And we hope you have a wonderful day. If you're traveling, we hope you have a wonderful day. If you're not traveling, we hope you have a wonderful day. And that's that. Take care.